Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
How's everyone doing? Good. Are you ready for the word?
Yeah.
So my son turned 8 years old yesterday. Andy asked me the question, what was you doing this time on this day? And I couldn't remember a single thing. Really bad. But I do remember him, and I know we've had some baby weights this morning, but I remember him coming out and them weighing him, and he was 9 pounds. You see, the bells, they don't do small babies. He was 9 pounds and 6 ounces. Is that right, babe? You just come in. Isaac, 9 pounds and 6 ounces. 9 pound 8. Don't forget those 2 ounces. Your wife always remembers those 2 ounces. But here's the truth. He wasn't the biggest out of all of my children. Bethany was 10 pounds something. Poor Becky. Fantastic. Well, listen, I just want to spend right at the beginning just a short moment just honouring our senior pastor, Andy and Becky. I don't know if you were here in September, but we had a fantastic month where Pastor Andy just brought the heart of the house. We shared about the vision of the house and the values of the house. And I just want to just kind of honour them right now, because just listen for a second. Now, whenever anybody opens this word, the Bible, and preaches it from the front, it doesn't go without any sacrifice. And for the man of God, our senior pastor, to open the word over the whole month and bring the heart of the house in that way, he has had to sacrifice a lot for the goodness of God. And he brought the heart of the house. So let's just honor Andy and Becky. So New Horizon Church, we are a relevant, reverent community. Let me get it the right way around, though. We're a reverent, relevant community arising today to transform tomorrow. Let me say that again. We are a reverent, relevant community arising today to transform tomorrow. Who can't get excited about that? Amen? Yeah. Come on. See, how many of us know that to arise today and transform tomorrow, we have to be a people who are willing to walk where we've never been before? Yes? We have to be a people who are ready to step into something new. Yes? Leave the old and step into something new. We have to, if we want to arise today and transform tomorrow, we have to break out of our old and step into the new church. I believe that for some of us today, that is a word for you. You have lived in the old for too long, and God wants you to step into something new today, because he's calling you to arise today to transform tomorrow. Hosea, the prophet Hosea, writes these words in his book in verse 10 and 12. It says these words, and I think they should come up on the screen for us. So verse 10, chapter 10, sorry, verse 12. It says, break new ground, plant righteousness and harvest the fruit that your loyalty will produce for me. It's time to seek the Lord. When he comes, he will rain righteousness on you. Amen? Now, Hosea is prophesying over the people of Jerusalem that the time has come to break new ground, that the time has come to plant new things, to plant righteousness, because how many of us know what we sow, we reap? Amen? See, my title this morning is Breaking New Ground. See, breaking new ground is stepping into something new, but it's also about the cultivation of our lives. And I'll explain a bit more of that later. breaking new ground is planted seeds. Is planting new seeds in your life and in the people's lives that are that enter your lives. Yes? But here's the thing. Breaking new ground is all of that, but it's only all of that if we do it for the glory of God. And you see, today, I believe that God wants to give each one of us the opportunity to break new ground in our lives. To break new ground in this church, to break new ground in our communities. And I've just as Pastor Andy was preaching over this last month, I just felt God just remind me of this verse. And I ended up getting this verse printed and hung on my office wall. It's one of my favorite Bible verses. It spoke to me all of last year. It spoke to me in this year. And this is where I want to kind of preach on this morning. And it's from the book of Haggai. So if you've got your Bibles, please turn to the book of Haggai. And we will be in it. Just keep your finger in there. But the verse that I've got printed on my wall is this. It's chapter 2 and it's verse 6. And it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty." Church, we've got to get excited about that. It stirs something up in my heart. Let me tell you, that I believe this is a prophetic word for us as New Horizon Church, because I believe that God is going to once more shake the heavens and the earth, and this house will be filled with the glory of the Lord, and we will keep seeing God's glory as we arise today to transform tomorrow. Yes? I'm going to say that again, church, because I like people to talk back to me, so forgive me. But if we're going to arise today to transform tomorrow, we have to understand that we're only going to do it with the move of God in our lives. And God will shake the heavens and the earth to see his glory filled in this house and out of this house, so that it can pour out into the people of Langley Mill, the people of Eastwood, the people of Kimberley, the people of Ironville, the people of Underwood. And God wants to see his people arise today to transform tomorrow. Come on, church. Woo! You may have walked into church today facing battles. You may have walked into church today not knowing what direction to go. But I believe that God wants to say these words over your life as well. That in a little while, he will shake the heavens and the earth, and the glory of God will fulfill in your life, in your house. Let me just break down the book of Haggai for you and give us a bit of background. You see, verse 1 talks about the people. There's a call from God to the people to rebuild the temple, to build God's house. We've had that call, haven't we? We've built God's house. Chapter 2 is all about the glory of God filling the house of the Lord. Chapter 3 then moves into God's people will be God's people will be blessed. Still in chapter 2, God is sovereign over all. What that means is God will come first. What's New Horizons' value? We are a reverent church. First and foremost, God will be first in this house so that we will see his kingdom. I want to talk to you this morning about the journey of the people of Jerusalem in Haggai, and what that meant to them to see the fulfillment of this promise over their lives. You see, for the people of Jerusalem, God made a promise to them that he will once more shake the heavens and the earth. But the people of Haggai needed to do something. And you see, my first point this morning is that for us to experience God in a fresh way, to break new ground in our lives, we have to step out to break out. Church, we have to step out to break out. Listen, we're not going to break out into this community if we stay sat down. We're not going to break out into this community or see the glory of God fulfilled if we stay in the temple of the Lord. But if God is calling us to pour out into our community, then we will see God fulfilled and his fulfillment of his promise over our lives and the church's life. You see, for the people of Jerusalem, they had to change their attitudes. They had to change their thought process. They had to change what they were doing at the time. You see, in verse 1, it even goes as far to say that God rebuked the people, because he says to them in verse 1, he says, "Is this a time for you and yourselves to be living in a panelled house while my house lives in remains, in ruins?" Yes? Well, this house doesn't lie in ruins, but God hasn't called us to just sit in the house, church. He's called us to break out of the house, and so that the glory of God can be fulfilled in our lives and his purpose can be seen. You see, none of us like change, do we? Anybody like change? Anybody like? Some of us like change. I mean, my Becky, there's times where I will come home and the living room has changed round. There's times where I come to cook and the cutlery drawer has been moved to another drawer. And it's taken me 6 months to get used to where the knives and forks are. But I struggle sometimes with change because I have to get used to new things. But I want to say this morning, and I've had to learn this in my life, that change is much greater than anything I'm doing sometimes. You see, change happens at the name of Jesus. Change happens at the voice of God. Change happens at the move of the Holy Spirit. And just because we can't feel God doing something in our lives right now, it doesn't mean that God isn't at work or he isn't with you, because the word of the Lord says, "I am with you. I am with you." So if you are experiencing change this morning, church, let me tell you, it's okay. It's okay. When I see the cutlery drawers move, there's something that it messes with my head, church. It does. I'm just being honest. I'm a little bit OCD like that. But it's okay. It's okay. And I'm using that as an analogy, because it's okay if change is happening in your life, because God is in control. God is in control. Rachel, God is in control. I know I've spoken to you this week, but God is in control. Yes? Know that over your life. God is in control. I just want to show you a picture of Isaac. I told you it was his birthday. He turned 8 years old. Well, this is a picture of him riding his new bike, which he got 2 Christmases ago. Now, this picture was taken on the 31st of... I'm not very good at taking pictures, James, I'm sorry, and Jess, and anybody else that's really good at taking pictures. It's very blurred, isn't it? This picture was taken on the 31st of May. Now remember, Isaac got the bike at Christmas. But this is the first time he's rode it on the 31st of May. And I want to tell you why it took Isaac that long. Because Isaac didn't like change. He had a bike. It was smaller. He was used to riding it. He felt comfortable on it. But one day, his sisters got out on their bikes and he saw them riding on their bikes. And Isaac said, I'm going to get on my new bike. And he had a go. And this was that moment. Because he ran it, my daughter Bethany, she ran in to me. She opened the door. She said, Daddy, look, Isaac's riding his bike. I says, I know he can ride his bike. It's okay. She says, no, Daddy, he's riding his new bike. So I came out and I took a picture of him. And I wanted to show you this because sometimes we're used to doing things a certain way. Yeah? We're used to what's comfortable in our lives. But if we're going to be a people who break new ground, we have to step out and break out into something new. And that means trying, because the new can become as comfortable as what the old will. And there'll come a day where that new comfortable thing will be your thing that you've got to overcome. But for now, God wants you to move into that new thing and step out. You see, if we're going to be a people that break new ground, we have to have faith. I love that Seeley brought that wonderful word last week about being faith activators. It reminded me of Mr. Motivator. Who remembers Mr. Motivator? I'm going to be a faith activator. But guys, if we're going to step out, we have to activate some faith in our lives. And know that where I am weak, as Pastor Andy has said this morning, where I am weak, he is strong. Jackie, where you feel weak, God is strong in your life. God is going to bring a new strength into your life. Amen. I'm sorry for embarrassing you. My second point is this. That if we're going to break ground, we have to be a people who are cultivators. You see, cultivation will always lead to multiplication. Let me say that again. Cultivation will always lead to multiplication. Yeah, it's a bit of a tongue twister. But what is cultivation? You see, the Bible, Jesus, when he teaches his parables, he loves to talk in an agricultural manner. He loves to talk about our faith in an agricultural manner. You see, cultivation, yes, is the turning of the soil. It's the nurturing of the soil. It's the preparation of the soil. You see, when we cultivate, we uplift, uproot all the badness and take the badness out and put back in the goodness so that growth can happen. See, a farmer knows that cultivation will factor in the result of his crop. As a pastor, I know that the cultivation of the house of God will affect the crop, the outpouring of what is going off in the outside of the world. You see, the cultivation of our own lives is important. I want to ask you a question this morning. You may feel it's You may feel it's a personal question, but I don't want to embarrass, but I want to ask you these words. What are you cultivating in your life? Or even better, when was the last time you cultivated something of the Spirit of God, the presence of God in your life? When did you ask the question, God, what is it that you want me to do now? What is it, God, that you are asking me to do right now? Because sometimes we're brilliant at looking to the future, but we're not very good at understanding what God is wanting us to do right now, because we're too blinded by what lies ahead, and we miss what God is doing right now. Yes? I love these words in Haggai 2. It says, the word of the Lord came. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says, in a little while. In a little while. So what God's saying to the people is, not right now, but in a little while, I'm going to move. Because there was something that the people of Jerusalem had to do first. Yeah? There was a cultivation in their lives that they had to do. They had to leave their paneled houses. Yes? They had to leave the paneled houses that were brilliant, that they were building, that was lovely. And they had to move and build the house of the Lord. They had a purpose to do. And sometimes we have to understand what God is asking us to do right now. And right now in our lives, God may be speaking to you specifically right now about something. It doesn't necessarily have to be what I'm speaking about, but maybe the one word for you today is, what is God doing right now in my life? How am I going to cultivate my life? You see, how we prepare will factor into what we reap. I just wonder if the people of Jerusalem would have seen the promise of God fulfilled if they'd stayed in their paneled houses. I wonder. I guess we'll never know, because thankfully they built the house. But you see, God's will for our lives is for us to live in the goodness of the Lord all the days of our lives. So let me ask you that question again. When was the last time you allowed God to cultivate something in your life? When was the last time you cultivated something in your life? Because cultivation will always lead to multiplication. And we are a house that wants to see the multiplication of the glory of God grow and grow and grow. And not just for the house, but for your life individually. Yes? Call the glory of the Lord is to come more and more over your life, man. Jesus. The glory of the Lord is to pour out over your life more and more. You know, the days that you walk into to Wilco's, they're not, I know that's not where you want to be, but God uses you in that place. God uses you in that place, mate. He uses you to fulfill his glory. And the glory of the Lord is going to pour out in that workplace. You see, it's not just about church. It's not just about the four walls. Our church is wherever we work as well, guys. Our church is wherever we do life as well. We are a family. We are New Horizon Church. But we're called to be a people who are reverent to God and are relevant in a community. We're a community of people who are relevant. And I'm telling you, in your workplace, there's something of God to come afresh in your workplace. I really do believe that. I believe that, Leslie, over your life as well. See, my final point is this. And here's the big one. What seeds are you planting? See, whenever we hear the word of God, whenever God has spoken, we have to remember that God wants us to act. So what seeds are we planting? If you remember at the beginning, I said, what we sow, we reap. Hosea says, break new ground, plant righteousness, and harvest the fruit that your loyalty will produce for me. It is time to seek the Lord. When he comes, he will rain righteousness on you. Plant righteousness, and then God will rain righteousness on you. If we sow goodness, we will reap. Come on, church, let's. If we sow goodness, we will reap. Goodness. If we sow faith, we will reap. If we read our Bible, we will reap more of the glory of God. I like to throw that one in. I'm just going to be real with you for 2 minutes. 90% of us struggle to read our Bible every day. And then we ask ourselves why we face some of the things or why we don't hear God. Well, let me tell you, this is the spoken word of God. It breaks my heart, church, that when we need to hear God's voice, we don't open the word of God and read the word of God. But we look for the divine word of thus say the Lord. But thus say the Lord is in here. It's in all of these pages. It's the spoken word of God. If we read the Bible, we will reap God. We will reap the presence of God. We will reap what we need from God, but we will live to the glory of God. On the flip side, church, I want to challenge us, because in the same way, if we sow bad attitude, what do we get? Bad attitude. If we sow bitterness, what do we get? If we sow laziness, what do we reap? God is calling us to much more than that. Yes? God is calling us as a people to arise. God is calling us to arise today to transform tomorrow, church. Come on, let's give God the glory. What are you planting? What seeds are you planting? Because the seeds that you plant in your life and the people around you matter. You know, there's times where I have to be careful not to moan about situations. We all have it, it's human nature. We're great moaners. We are. But sometimes you have to be careful that when you walk into a situation, am I planted seeds of whining? Or am I planting faith into people's lives? Because let me tell you, when somebody walks up to me and tells me something faith-filled, something arises in me. This morning, I walked into church and my sister-in-law, Danielle, her sister has started coming to church, Emma. And I loved that. And she came up to church this morning and she brought her young son, Harlan. And she said, Harlan woke up this morning and he said to me, Mummy, Mummy, we've got to go to church because Isaac's daddy will miss me. And let me tell you, Harlan, I will miss you if you're not at church. I know you're in kids' church, and I know Mummy's most probably listening on the live link, but I would miss you if you weren't in church. And like Pastor Andy said over June and Hollis, we missed you when you weren't here because you bring something to the family. So what seeds are you planting, church? What faith-filled seeds are we church planting? Because I want to be a person who breaks new ground for the kingdom of God. I want to be somebody who will break new ground for the kingdom of God. And I believe over your life, God wants to break new ground over your life today. Amen. Pastor Andy, will you come and pray for us? Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to stand together. What I love about the message this morning is, you know, what I love about Pastor Steve is he reads his Bible. And whenever I meet with him, he's always got the Bible on his tongue. One of the greatest things, Pastor Steve, you bring to that church, to this church, is that. Never, ever, ever lose that. We love that. We're going to finish. We're going to pray. I think it was the late 90s, was a TV program called Won't Cook, Can't Cook. I don't know if anyone watched it. Yeah? I've been a senior pastor for 11 and a half years. Been involved in leadership now 20 years. Became a senior pastor when I was 18, by the way. And I have to ask. When you're in leadership, you have to be a good asker. Because the Bible says you don't ask, you don't get. Yeah? That's maybe a word for you. You're not getting what you want because you're not asking. Because the Bible says ask, you know, you're not getting because you're not asking. And when I ask, two words, two spirits come out of people when I ask. And it's basically this. I won't. Or sometimes I say, I can't. And I just say one of the most depressing things is when people say, I won't. Because you know this is truth? God, you can't do anything with that. God cannot do anything without answer. And sometimes I even spoke to people with great potential, amazing gift upon their lives. I won't. And I, when people say I won't, I just back away very soon. And I'll go and bypass and just ask somebody else. Sometimes that can be our reaction. We've probably all done it in different stages. But then the second answer when God speaks is not I won't, because God will bypass you. You've had your opportunity. I'll find someone else to do it. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. Never think you're indispensable. Yeah? I could leave and within a month someone would raise, you know, just. But the good thing that is when we say we can't, that's okay. Because when you read the Bible, 90% of the time when God asks God people to do things, they can't do it. Are you with me? Because that's the point. Because his power is perfected in our weakness. And so I don't know, are we going to finish? But when God speaks to us, there's two attitudes we can have about your life. Is you might need to, maybe you're just saying, I won't. I won't. And that's personal between you and God, whatever it is. Maybe that needs to change today and say, I won't. But God, you understand, I can't. You've asked me to do this, but I can't do this. But God says to you this morning, that's okay. That's why I'm here. That's why God's hand's on your life. And God will always use your life. Maybe you know, I'm not here to heap hot coals on anybody, but I've been in church sometimes when I know I should be doing things, and I'm not. And I'm living with won't. I won't do this. Whether that's about forgiveness, whether it's about whatever that is, whatever God's speaking to you, I won't. You see, we're going to pray, and as Steve was speaking, you know, to get a new horizon, you have to leave the other horizon. Are you with me? I want new stuff, but I never want to let anything go. Yeah? I want everything I've got now into the future. It don't work like that. And maybe as God's rotivating your life, because it's a crucible for silver, and God takes some stuff away, and we go, no, I still want that. And maybe you're in that season. Don't freak out if that's happening. Just say, God, just keep putting God first. God may remove some relationships. He may remove some stuff. No, just God's hands on your life. Right now you need to say, God, I can't. But there's two ways we can say can't. We can either say, I can't, God, because I'm rubbish and I can't do it. Or you can say, I can't, God, but I'm going to have faith that I'm going to get through this. I'm going to have faith that I can do this. And that when I step out to break out, something supernatural is going to happen in my life. That something's going to happen. And right now we're going to pray. And maybe you need to step into that new horizon and leave the old horizon behind. Maybe right now you need to say, God, I'm so sorry that I've lived with this won't. I won't. But today I'm saying sorry and I'm moving to I can't. But not just I can't because it's difficult. I can't, but I can. Because I'm going to decide in faith that through you all things are possible. If you're for me, who can be against me? Because you can do all things. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning for your word. Lord, I just pray that we will be a people who will continually step out to break out. Lord, I just pray this morning that right now, if we're living with the won't in this place, it will move to can't. Oh Lord, I just pray for those people if they're living in the can't. Lord, I just pray right now the divine power of the Holy Ghost will come upon people and will enable them to do that which you've called them to do. Because your word to Zerubbabel who built the temple, it's not by might, it's not by strength, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And Lord, we just pray your spirit will work through this church. It will enable us to do amazing things. And all God's people said, Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.